Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting at verse 12. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I've seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in my wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of growing trees. I brought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun.
Thank you. It's very nice to be with you. Thank you, Tim and Daniel, for your hospitality this weekend. It's been great to be with you. Great to be with you this evening. I see that you do things properly in the evening and no one sits in the first three rows. That's a problem with musicians. As I said this morning, Tim invited me to preach before he told me it would have to be Ecclesiastes. So I foolishly agreed and all is meaningless. No. Let's pray. And then we'll come to God's words. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, will be at work this evening in what I say, in our hearts, that you would equip us, not just to hear your word, but to let it dwell within us, so that we might live it out in the days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start with the question, what will you be doing tomorrow? Tomorrow, if you don't know, is a bank holiday. In South Africa, we used to have bank holidays called public holidays. I remember turning up with my boss to work, and then we realized it was a public holiday, so we went home. Don't do that. But what would you be doing? Perhaps you haven't got given it much thought. Well, now's your opportunity. Think about it now. And let me ask you in particular, are you going to enjoy tomorrow? Maybe you're seeing family, and maybe that you're thinking maybe not. But whatever you're doing, are you going to enjoy it? Or let me make the question a bit bigger than just tomorrow. Think about life. Think about the rest of the week. Will you enjoy it? Not just tomorrow, not just your week, but life. And don't we all want that? Switch on the TV, read the magazines, if anyone does that anymore, go online. And what is everybody searching for? Everybody wants to enjoy life. So how do you do it? How do you enjoy tomorrow? How do you enjoy life? I did what you should do when you've got big questions in life. I asked Alexa, how do you enjoy life? Now, first of all, as happens all too often, Alexa didn't understand what I was saying and instead told me how to cook something called fajitas, which apparently is a fruit. I don't know why, but once it had understood what I'd said, what was the answer it gave me? Do things that you would enjoy, which I thought was fairly obvious, and I was sad that I used technology in that manner. Anyway, how do you enjoy life? That's the question. And it's not my question, it's the question of the teacher who wrote this book, Ecclesiastes. It's the question he's addressing in today's passage. How do you enjoy life? And we might start with tomorrow. Well, the teacher answers the question in two parts. First, negatively, what won't lead you to enjoy life? And that's the bulk of his argument. And then at the end, he teaches us how to enjoy life. So, if I do my job properly today, my prayer is that you would enjoy your bank holiday tomorrow. But he starts with how not to enjoy life. And he points this. He starts by saying you cannot enjoy life for gain. You cannot enjoy life for gain. If you seek anything in life as a means of gain, a means to enjoy life, then the teacher's claim is that you will not enjoy life. And it's quite a claim, isn't it? Because if you think about it, think about advertising. What is advertising all about? It's all about saying that if you have the right car, the right perfume, the right lawnmower, then you will enjoy life. And the teacher's claim is that's all nonsense. And the teacher speaks from experience. He's actually tried it all. If you chase after everything for gain, you will not find enjoyment in life. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now that's important because a king can get anything he wants. He can click his fingers and it arrives. So if anyone's going to set out for gain, a king's in a great position to do that. And verse 13, and I applied my heart to seek and search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. He applied his heart to gain everything that might lead to enjoying life. But just look how he ends verse 13. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. Every pursuit of gain, and he says, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after wind. You cannot enjoy life for gain. The word vanity there literally means breath, mist, or vapor. Think of a cold day, and you breathe out and you can see your breath. And when kids do it, they try and grab hold of it. And then you open your hand and there's nothing there. And the teacher was saying, it's like that when life is lived for gain. You grasp all these things, but you open your hand and there's nothing there. You cannot enjoy life for gain. And the teacher, this king, tests it out. He takes hold of every gain that is on offer, only to find it vanity, grasping at the wind. He considers three things. He pursues three gains. He pursues wisdom, he pursues pleasure, and he pursues work. And that's our world, isn't it? Pursuit of knowledge, wisdom, pursuit of experience, pleasure, pursuit of success, work. And our world would say, pursue these things and you will enjoy life. Live life for gain. And the teacher says, let's give it a go. Let's give it a whirl. So first he starts with wisdom, verse 16. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. He grasped wisdom, all the wisdom he could find. And he opened his hand. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. Nothing. And it's not that there's no value in wisdom. Look on to chapter 2, verse 13. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly. And that as there is more gain in light than in darkness, it's better to be wise than foolish. But in the end, the pursuit of wisdom, the gain of wisdom, brings nothing. Verse, chapter 2, verse 16. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance. Seeing that in the day to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies, just like the fool. There might be temporary benefit in wise living. But in the end, the scholar and the fool both die. And because of death, you cannot enjoy life for gain. Because death means everything you gain, you will lose. The wise man faces the same destiny as the fool. Now, if enjoyment is not gained through wisdom, what about through pleasure? Enjoy it while it lasts, we might think. Pursuit of pleasure surely characterizes our day. Turn on the TV, go on TikTok or whatever that is, and what are people doing? Pursuing pleasure. And the teacher again says, come, let's try that out. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. And yet, even as he begins, see how he concludes? But behold, this also was vanity. He grasped at pleasure, all the pleasure that he could get hold of. He opened his hands, nothing. mist, vapor, vanity. But he really did try everything. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. He tried wine, verse 4 to 6, accomplishment and success. He had possessions, money, entertainers, concubines, everything that his heart desired. He experienced pleasure beyond what others might even imagine. Might only imagine. Look at verse 9. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. I had all I want and my wisdom. And whatever my heart desires, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. He grasped everything, all pleasures, but it did not bring him enjoyment. A world in pursuit of any and every pleasure immediately, that's our world, isn't it? If you want it, have it. We have apps on our phones where whatever you want, you can click and it will be delivered almost immediately. Well, at least if you've got Amazon Prime. Well, although not actually in Bury, it takes slightly longer. Let's not go there. Okay. Today, you don't need to be a king to click your fingers and get whatever you want. You can have whatever you want and you can have it now, and yet we live in a day where people are more miserable than ever before. I don't know whether it's just my browsing habits, but I've started to notice that when I scroll down Facebook or Instagram, I don't often do Instagram because I'm old. No, when I scroll down Facebook or Instagram, the adverts alternate between, on the one hand, trying to sell me whatever my heart's desire, and on the other hand, trying to sell me counselling to help with the fact that whatever my heart's desire doesn't bring me happiness. I say, maybe that just says something about my browsing habits, but isn't that our world? You can have everything, and we'll also throw in the counselling to help you deal with the fact that everything will not bring you satisfaction. You cannot enjoy life again. Riches, pleasures, delights. And yet look at verse 11. Then I considered all that my hand had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving over wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. We grasp at every pleasure under the sun, and we open our hands, and there's nothing to be gained. You cannot enjoy life for gain. And finally, the teacher, we might think slightly oddly, tries work or toil as a fulfillment of life. But look at chapter 2, verse 18. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be the master of all which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. You work and work, you produce all these things, and in the end, you leave it to someone else, and the trouble is, they might be a fool. And you see his point? You cannot enjoy life for gain. You can try, but you will fail, because in the end, the wise and the foolish all die. The rich and the poor both die. The one who pursues every pleasure and the one who shuns every pleasure. Both are. What's the point? Maybe you're here this evening. And that's your outlook in life. You think, I will go and enjoy everything this world has to offer. Surely that will satisfy me. Well, I confess that I haven't sought to enjoy everything the world has to offer, but this teacher has. And he says, it's not worth it. Don't try it. It doesn't work. And Jesus said the same when he spoke about the rich fool in Luke's gospel, who builds bigger and bigger barns. And then Jesus says, he sits back and says to himself, soul, you have ample good laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You cannot enjoy life for gain. And again, maybe that's what you're trying. That's how you live. Well, let me save you some time. Let this teacher teach you. He's tried everything, and none of it brought him joy. If you're trying to gain something, wisdom, pleasure, success, whatever it may be, take it from this teacher who's tried everything. It will not satisfy. If you are seeking gain, you will not find enjoyment. Let me bring it back to tomorrow. Perhaps you've got a day off tomorrow. Sorry if you don't. Probably unfortunate I'm mentioning it, but perhaps you do. If you seek to enjoy tomorrow as an end in and of itself, the teacher will say, in the end, you won't enjoy it. If you are living for gain, whatever you gain, every single one of them will disappoint. And if not now, certainly when you must leave them behind when you die. You cannot live life for gain. You cannot enjoy life for gain. Now, we might be thinking at this point, tomorrow's looking a bit bleak, you just can't enjoy life. But don't worry, because the teacher is not yet done. Although he says you cannot enjoy life for gain, he does think you can enjoy life. You can enjoy tomorrow, even if you're seeing family. No. You can enjoy life. And it comes at the end of chapter 2. Just look at chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. And the teacher ends with this point: you can only enjoy life as a gift. You can only enjoy life as a gift. You cannot enjoy life for gain. You can only enjoy life as a gift. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. You can find enjoyment, he says. You can't enjoy things for gain, but you can enjoy them. He keeps going. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? Enjoyment comes not from the things as gain, but seeing things as gifts from God. Gifts from God are things that reach beyond the vanity of this life. See, See, the reason you can't enjoy life as gain is because nothing is really gain. All you get, you will lose. Death puts an end to that. Again, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? That's why you can't enjoy it for gain. But if you recognize everything as a gift from God, you begin to see something you cannot lose. Not just the gift, but the hand that gives the gift. See, how do you enjoy tomorrow? As an end in and of itself, it will disappoint. But as a gift from God, it can be enjoyed. And the God who gives does so, not just so that you may enjoy tomorrow, not just so that you can eat and drink, but we know he gave his son. See, actually, the story of the Bible is not the story of the king in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. The big story of the Bible is a very different story. It's not about a king who pursues everything and finds nothing. It is a story about a king who pursues nothing to give everything. What did Jesus Christ do? He did the opposite of this teacher. He did not seek wisdom, pleasure, or wealth, though they were rightfully his. He did not live again, we said those words from Philippians, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He did not seek his fill, instead he gave his fullness. By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He gave up those things that we might receive life, life eternal as a gift. Death robs every gain of value. But the gift of life brings back the joy. The gift of life through Jesus Christ. That having received that gift, we see that all things in life are gifts from that gracious Father who gave his Son. And that's how we enjoy life. Knowing that none of it is rightfully ours, that all of it is graciously given. If we see all good things in this world as a gift from God, we see beyond this world to a God who reached into this world and gave his one and only Son. We turn away from all the things that we thought were gain to find enjoyment instead in the one who gives. So this evening we have a choice. We can pursue gain and find nothing, or we can receive a gift and enjoy everything. That's not to say we won't experience the frustration of the world. The teacher goes on to say we certainly will. We will see the vanity of wisdom and pleasure and work. But we will also be able to see the kind hand of God that gives what we do not deserve. We'll see that you cannot enjoy life for gain. If you seek in your work, in your studies, in your life to find ultimate gain in those things, you will find nothing, mere vapor vanity. Grab hold of those things, open your hand, and there's nothing. You can chase after gain, but you cannot enjoy life for gain. But you can enjoy life as a gift. All things given by God our Father, and not least his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, given by his Father, was given that you who chase after gain might find in him hope of one who is given. Will you not chase after gain, but receive what God has given this morning? This morning? This evening? Sorry. And with him, every good gift from the hand of the Lord, including tomorrow. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for times when we have chased after things in this life for gain. We thought if we get hold of these things, we will find the enjoyment of life. Show us the vanity, the myth, the vapor of that kind of life. And thank you that we have been given so much by you, our Father, not least your Son. Thank you that the very grave that robs every gain of pleasure is defeated in the gift of your Son and eternal life in him. And teach us each day to enjoy all that you give us. In Jesus' name.